familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
Your baby has just been born, and you lay her down on her back to change her diaper. She throws out her arms to the side, and her body gets rigid. At the pediatrician's office, your doctor holds the baby upright, and it looks like your baby is taking steps. These are just some of the amazing reflexes your newborn has, and each serves a purpose. This is Newbies.
He's gorgeous.
It's a girl.
Surprise! The whole family's here!
So when are you having the next one?
It's just poop.
Ready for another?
Wow, you look really tired.
Ready to go back to work?
Yellow poop? Seriously?
Did you sterilize this?
Sex? Now? You've got to be joking.
You should sleep when the baby sleeps.
She doesn't look anything like you.
I thought you already had your baby.
I did.
Babies don't come with instructions, so there's Newbies, helping new moms and new babies through the first year. Welcome to Newbies. Newbies is your online, on-the-go support group guiding new mothers through their baby's first year. I'm your host, Kristen Stratton, certified birth doula, postpartum doula, and owner of In Due Season Doula Services. How do you listen to our episodes of Newbies? On our website, through iTunes, via our free apps, or perhaps through our partner websites such as Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, and others. All of our episodes are absolutely free to our listeners. For a complete list of all the episodes we've released so far, visit the episode guide on our website at newmommymedia.com. Here's Sunny with details about how to participate in our show.
All right. So we've got some segments that I think everyone will be really interested to know more about. It's a way for you guys to get involved in the show and become part of it. So one we're actually going to do a little bit later in the show, but it's called Baby Oops. So when you have funny things that happen between you and your baby, so it could be kind of a, you know, a little parenting oops on your end, or maybe it's just something funny that your baby does, or I don't know, a combination of the two. We would love to hear these stories. So if you are interested in submitting for that segment, or if you want to know more about the other segments that we have here on Newbies, you can go to our website at newmommymedia.com. If you want to submit, go to the contact link and you can send us an email. You can also send us a voicemail through the website. Just click on that gray banner on the side that says send voicemail. If you want to see the other segments that we have in addition to our baby oops segment, you can go to the Newbies section of newmommymedia.com and just click on the segments tab from there, and you can see all the various things that you can do. We are always looking for ideas, topics that we can explore on Newbies too. So if you are thinking that there's a topic that we haven't explored yet, it's still a fairly new show, so there's a bunch of topics I'm sure that are out there. So if you're listening, you're like, hey, I have a really good idea. Again, go to our website and send us an email and we'll have our producers take a look at it and see if it's something we can explore.
Let's meet the mamas joining our conversation today. Graham, tell us a bit about yourself, your family, and your experience with today's topic.
Hi, I'm Graham, and I have two kids. My son is almost 3 years old, and my daughter Rory is just 5 months. I don't remember that much of his of his newborn time because it feels like it was 50 years ago instead of 3 years ago, probably because of the 5 month old. But all of her stuff is very fresh in my mind. Yeah, I remember all of that, and I have some questions still, so I'm ready.
Great. Well, welcome to the show.
Sound familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com. So before we begin our episode today, we'd like to talk about a new campaign to help cure food allergies. And joining us today is the co-founder of End Allergies Together. It's also known as EAT. And Elise Bates is one of two Connecticut moms who joined forces to fund and find a cure for the severe allergies that affect her daughter, along with 17 million other Americans. So hi, Elise. Welcome to our show.
Oh, thank you so much, Sunny, for having me.
Absolutely. So we know this is personal for you, and your daughter has food allergies. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, my daughter, who is 11 years old now, at 3 months old, she broke out in hives all over her body. Mm-hmm. And it was very difficult to manage and to go away. She was miserable. We took her to an allergist, and they said this might be the start of what's called the food allergy march. And sure enough, we managed her eczema, and then at 11 months, we fed her egg, and she got sick. And so we knew that she likely had an allergy to egg. And then at 2 years old, we tested her, and she was also allergic to peanuts, tree nuts, and kiwi.
Wow.
So we've been alert with foods that we eat since she was, you know, an infant.
Right, right. So you co-founded End Allergies Together, and now that organization is launching a campaign called Do Your 17. So tell us a little bit about Do Your 17.
So Do Your 17 is in honor of the 17 million Americans with food allergies. And so it's Do Your 17, and you can do 17 of anything. And it's a nationwide fundraiser. So you can do anything you love 17 times or for 17 seconds or for 17 minutes for someone you love who has food allergies. Food allergies are so common now, 1 in 12 children, 2 in every classroom, that this was a way that we could engage people across the country to raise money for research to help all of these children eat safely. So for your 17, you can sign up and create your fundraising page at doyour17.com. And you can do anything. You can run a 17K. You can ski 17 times down a mountain. My partner and her daughter, who has food allergies, they are doing a mother-daughter spin class where they're going to spin 17 miles. And her other daughter is going to do 17 backflips with her friends at her gymnastics studio. My son is going to throw a football 17 yards into a very small bucket, so it's going to take him a while to figure out how to do that. And my daughter is going to shoot 17 free throws with legendary Celtics number 17, John Havlicek. So there's all different ways that you can raise money for research and do something you love doing it.
Yeah, just be creative. There's a lot of really good ideas there. You guys are really creative in what you chose. I love it.
Well, it's fun. You know, kids do not want to be defined by their food allergies. They're so used to being the one who sits at the nut-free table or the one who has to bring their own food to the birthday party or has to, you know, not be able to go to friends' houses when they're really young because it may not be safe. And so this was a way that people can do something they love that they'd rather be defined by than what they can't eat every day.
Okay. And this is going on throughout the month of May, correct?
Correct. We're starting it now, but it's really in celebration of Food Allergy Awareness Month in May.
Okay. And where can they get more information on this, Elise?
They can go to doyour17.com, where you can go and build your fundraising page, and that will link to our endallergiestogether.com website, where you can learn more about our organization and why we're doing this, and that we are giving all of the money we raise in this campaign directly to research to help find some real answers on why this food allergy epidemic is happening.
Yeah, such an important cause. And I think it's so interesting that you found out with your daughter at 3 months. So, I mean, this can happen really early. I know there's a lot that we're thinking about as brand new parents. We just brought our babies home. There's a lot going on during that first year. But when we think about food allergies, it can happen at a really young age. So you can never start too soon, and just being very proactive and really recognizing the signs that are there can help your child out tremendously.
Absolutely. And being aware of the symptoms is important, because they can vary. They can range from tingling in their mouth, or, as we said, eczema or hives or swelling or wheezing. And some of them are hard, especially in babies who can't talk yet.
Right.
So being aware of those, and if there are any questions, calling the allergist or the pediatrician to find out is really important.
Well, Elise, thank you so much for doing this. We really do appreciate your organization and all the efforts that your organization is doing, especially this Do Your 17 campaign. And best of luck to you.
Thank you so much. And thank you for having me.
Of course.
Today on Newbies, we're discussing the infant reflexes, what purpose they serve, and when your baby may outgrow them. Our expert today is newborn care educator, DONA-certified birth and postpartum doula, Jen Graham. Thanks for joining us, Jen, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Jen, let's start with the reflexes baby has right at birth. What is the Moro reflex, and what are pediatricians looking for when they test for it?
The Moro reflex is better known as the startle reflex. I think that's what most people would recognize it as. And the doctors are checking when you go to the newborn exam. They're going to hold the baby up a little bit and then kind of let the baby down, and they're checking to see whether or not the baby startles. And what that means is when the baby is kind of let down, the baby's arms will open wide up, and then the baby's arms will close up tight again. And then the baby will probably cry. And so they're checking to make sure that the baby has the reflex and that it's symmetrical on both sides of the baby's body. If it's asymmetrical or absent, it could suggest that there is brain damage or spinal cord injury. If it's asymmetrical, it could suggest that there was possibly a broken shoulder bone or an injury to a group of nerves that runs in the lower back and the upper shoulder area.
So very important reflex that be present. Very important. I didn't realize it. That was all the things that they were checking for. One of the most endearing reflexes is when baby grasps our finger. Can you explain what is important about that reflex?
That's the palmar grasp reflex. It appears as early as like 16 weeks in utero and is usually integrates during the second or third month of life. It's essential for fine motor skills and the ability to recognize an object by feel and sensory input. Failure of the palmar reflex to appropriately integrate as the baby gets older has been witnessed among children with difficulty writing and expressing thoughts. So it should go away within the first few months of life. And if it doesn't, then that can signal that there's an issue.
And what is the importance of the auto-walking reflex? And does this have any significance in regards to when baby will walk?
Yeah, so the stepping reflex is one of the lesser known reflexes, but luckily we have that with our babies. It usually disappears after about 2 months, and then babies don't gain that reflex back again until they're getting ready to learn to walk. The reason that happens is as babies grow heavier, their leg muscles have not built up enough strength to hold up their bodies. But research shows that if you actually put a baby in water after it's lost its reflex, it will still continue to kick and attempt to walk in water. And that reflex, if you exercise it and continue to try to exercise it, it can actually lead to the baby walking early.
Graham, do you remember your baby receiving their newborn checkup and the pediatrician checking these reflexes?
I do. And I actually had a wonderful pediatrician who walked me through pretty much just the same way that Jen just did, what she was looking for and why she was looking for it. And luckily, Andrew passed everything and everything was good. But yeah, she really educated me on everything. I didn't know that if we had put him in water, he still would have done the walking reflex. That is really cool.
Yeah. If they're buoyant, they will continue to kick their legs and move their legs as if they were trying to walk in water.
Okay. We took swimming classes with Andrew when he was very, very little. And he was kicking pretty much immediately from the very beginning. Is that part of the walking reflex? Was he just doing it? Was he just doing the walking reflex and we thought it was kicking?
That's the walking reflex.
That is so cool.
That was the same question I was going to ask, Graham. So I'm really glad you chimed in with that. Great minds think alike. Okay, so Jen, can you explain the several reflexes which are related to baby's ability to eat and why these are so important for the parents to be aware of?
Yeah, so the sucking, swallowing, rooting, and then tongue thrust reflexes are all related to eating. These reflexes are really important, obviously, because you need to be able to feed your baby. The rooting reflex helps the baby find the nipple. If you gently stroke the baby's cheek or the corner of their mouth, they'll open their mouth and turn towards the stimulation. And then as you place your nipple in the baby's mouth, it'll touch the roof of their mouth, stimulating the sucking reflex. And when feeding, the sucking reflex draws milk from the breast or the bottle. And as milk enters the mouth, the swallowing reflex initiates. The suck-swallow reflexes work together, allowing the infant to swallow milk while simultaneously sucking to draw more out. These are obviously the most important reflexes your baby has. But just because your baby needs to suck doesn't mean that the baby is always hungry. Babies suck to soothe themselves also. And then the tongue thrust reflexes occurs when something touches the baby's lips or inside the baby's mouth, the baby will stick their tongue out. In the first 4 months of life, the tongue thrust reflex protects the infant against choking. And then when any unusual substance is placed on that tongue, it automatically just sticks it out or spits it out, basically. And then that reflex goes away between 4 and 6 months of age when that baby is getting ready to learn to eat solid foods.
And Graham, were you aware of your baby's feeding reflexes? And when did you know your baby was ready to eat?
I was aware of the reflexes, and I had no idea when he was ready to eat with my first one, because I think when with your first baby, you really don't know for sure anything. We just read a bunch of books and we were on a ton of websites and we talked to the pediatrician and we were really kind of torn between the whole baby led weaning or doing soft purees and stuff. And we just kind of didn't know what to do. And that led us to not do anything for quite a while. So we didn't really start him on anything until he was 7 months-ish. Somewhere in there. And then started with avocado was the first thing. Some really, really mushed up avocado, which came straight back out. And I think that it was actually because of the tongue thrusting a little bit more than anything else. It was just avocado mixed with some breast milk. And the second time we tried it, it went right down and he loved it.
I think that was the first food that we used for our kids too, was avocado with breast milk.
Avocado is a really good first food.
Yes. Yeah. With Rory, who's 5 months now, we haven't started her yet. I felt like I wanted to wait until she could sit up a little bit better on her own. I don't know why, but that was my kind of gut instinct. Until she was more comfortable doing that, I don't want to mess with it. She's fine on the breast milk. She's cool.
Well, that's great. Yeah, I think we did the same thing. And I think when I were first, like you said, you read the books, but you're still like, I don't know what to do with this thing. So I think like the early hunger cues are really subtle. And if you don't know what they are, you don't know to look for them, then usually the first indicator that parents are aware of is either the rooting reflex, because, you know, you hold your baby near the breast and they're immediately turning their head. Or some people just think that babies cry when they're hungry, which now we know that there's so much more information they give us way before they ever escalate to crying to let us know that they are ready to eat. So I think that rooting reflex is one of the more obvious ones, and it's a really good one to be attuned to so that you can feed your baby sooner. When we come back, we will continue our discussion about the types of protective reflexes our babies have. We'll be right back.
Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks, you're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit 1 million orders stage? Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.
Welcome back to the show. We are talking with Jen Graham, newborn care educator and certified postpartum doula. Jen, what are some of the reflexes baby has which protect baby?
The baby has a coughing reflex, so that if something is in the airway, the baby will cough so that they won't choke. They have a sneezing reflex, so when the nasal passages are irritated, they will sneeze. They also will turn their head away from something if they are unable to breathe. So if your baby is nursing and the baby is too squished or something, the baby will move its head away so that it can it can continue to breathe. And then there's also a little reflex that if you were to like lay something like a light blanket on the baby's face, the baby will actually put their hands up by their face to try to move the blanket away so that it can continue to breathe well.
These kids are so smart.
They are very smart babies.
Those are really important reflexes to have. And what reflexes does baby have when placed on his tummy, and why is that important?
When you place your baby on their tummy, they're going to pull their legs up under their body and kick them out in a crawling motion. In fact, when newborn babies are placed on their mother's stomach, they're able to crawl right after birth. When they're placed on their mother's stomach right after birth, they're able to crawl up to their mother's breast and start sucking. The crawling reflex unfortunately disappears after a few weeks, and then they will no longer be able to do that crawling.
That is the coolest thing. I would love to see that in person someday.
Actually, Rory did that, and it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. She just looked like a little froggy.
Okay, so when baby gets a shot or a blood test, they pull their limb away. Is this also a protective reflex?
Yeah, that's called the withdrawal reflex. It's their normal reaction to pain. It's actually one of the reflexes that we continue to keep throughout our lives. When we feel pain, our natural reaction is to withdraw from it. So they have that from birth.
Yeah, I don't think anyone likes to get poked with stuff.
Yeah, probably not, no.
No. And hiccups. Parents are frequently concerned their baby is uncomfortable by frequent hiccuping. Does this really bother baby, or is it just bothering us?
The hiccups don't really bother babies. In fact, the baby's probably been hiccuping since the second trimester of pregnancy. Hiccups most often happen after the baby's got a full belly, and it's just a spasm of the diaphragm, and there's really no need to worry about it or try to cure them. They just go away in time.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. I would really like to just record that one little sentence that Jen said and send it to my mom, because my daughter hiccups constantly. And my mom is always like, oh, my poor baby. And I'm going, she's fine. She's not even, she's been doing it since she was inside me. I could feel them when I was pregnant with her.
Right.
So I'm really used to it. She's really used to it. The only one who is bothered by it is my mom.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, when we have hiccups, we feel uncomfortable, but babies just really, their little systems are just not completely developed yet. So they tend to get hiccups a lot, and it doesn't really affect them at all. I mean, babies will sleep with hiccups. We certainly couldn't do that, but babies can.
Can I give you my mom's phone number, Jen?
Yes, I'll call your mom.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
She's also a postpartum doula for grandmas. We serve the whole family.
Right?
I appreciate that. Okay.
Mothers are wonderful sometimes.
Yes. Yes. And what about when babies become more mobile? Are there any reflexes which do develop that are also protective?
Yeah, there are a few. The parachute reflex, which occurs in slightly older infants, is when the child's being held upright and the baby's body is rotated quickly to face forward as if they were falling. The baby will extend their arms forward to break the fall. And even this reflex actually even appears long before they start to walk, but it's very helpful when they begin walking because, as you know, toddlers tend to fall a lot, so they catch themselves. There's also the, and it's very hard for me to pronounce the name of this one, but it's the libranthine riding reflex, which is if you hold the infant upright position and then tilt them in some direction, the baby will respond by moving their head in the opposite direction of the body and attempt to maintain that upright posture. So they're just basically trying to keep themselves balanced. And that's up to about 12 months. And then the pull-up reflex, if you put your hands on the baby's hands and you put the baby into an upright sitting position and tip either backward or forward while you're holding their hands, they'll respond by flexing or extending their arms in an effort to maintain that upright posture because they're trying to pull themselves up, basically.
And Jen, you did mention when some of the reflexes go away, but for the most part, all the reflexes that we discussed, are those outgrown by the time baby's 1 year old? Or what's the average time frame for most of those reflexes to go away?
So yeah, babies do outgrow some of the reflexes. The startle reflex, they outgrow around 4 to 5 months old. The rooting reflex, about 3 to 4 months old. And by that time, they don't really need to root anymore because they are very capable of finding a breast without having to root for it. That stepping reflex around 3 to 4 months old, the grasp reflex between 6 and 12 months. But all these reflexes, other than the ones that they develop as they grow older, are usually gone within that first year.
And Graham, I think we develop faster reflexes when we have children. Do you recall a time when you were quick to react more than you had been before children?
every single day. There's not like a specific time. I am just, I'm super fast now. I feel like I should have a cape and maybe some like cool armbands or something because I really am Wonder Woman. I now, especially really having a baby and having a toddler at the same time, I am the fastest woman on the planet.
I like to call them my mommy ninja skills because you just somehow become endowed with the ability to cross a room within a millisecond in order to catch a falling baby, you know, leap tall buildings in a single bound, that kind of stuff. In fact, even with my youngest, because he has special needs, he's kind of unsteady on his feet at times. And so I still have to be really guarded when I walk behind him. Like Jem was saying, with the fall reflex, how they put their arms out in front of them. He doesn't really do that skillfully and consistently, even though he's almost three, he still struggles with that as like a reflex, as a motor skill. So I have to compensate that with my mommy ninja skills. So
so you are that reflex for him.
You are. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So
a lot of children who are, who have a neurological problem or who have any kind of disability or were born prematurely don't necessarily have these reflexes. And that's why our doctors test for them, because it also helps them figure out what's going on with these babies.
Yeah. And that's so important.
Very important.
I actually have a question for Jen. My firstborn did something, and I don't think it was a reflex. I think it was just, you know, how we were talking about earlier, how, you know, sometimes our bodies just need, you know, chance to kind of adapt and stuff. But it was so funny. He would do this thing that I can't remember now if it was when I would touch him or I know some of these were just sporadic, but like and I don't think it mattered if he was laying down or sitting up, but it would look like he was sleeping. And then all of a sudden his arms would come out in like major jazz hands, you know, and his eyes would open.
Yes. That's that Moro reflex. It's the startle one where they fling their arms open really, really wide.
Okay.
And that goes away after a few months, but you know, that's why it's really good to swaddle newborn babies when they're trying to sleep, because they do startle with like loud noises or a change in the temperature in the room or just because for no reason. So if you wrap their arms when they're sleeping, then when they startle, they don't shoot out like jazz hands.
I mean, I thought he was dancing. I mean, really.
Right?
No, but baby jazz hands are pretty pretty awesome.
Baby jazz hands. And then I never had it with my other kids that I noticed. That was not an issue. So is it possible that, I mean, it can happen with one kid and obviously not other kids, right?
Well, some babies do startle more than others. Your other children probably still had the startle reflex, that if they were feeling like they were falling or something scared them, that they would shoot out their jazz hands. But some babies do startle more than other babies.
You forever changed that reflex for me, Sunny.
Now I'm calling it the jazz hand reflex.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of you know, like I need a top hat and like some
a cane. Yeah, a cane to walk with.
I'm channeling my Bob Fosse.
That's funny.
So I'm gonna rename that the Bob Fosse reflex. Oh my goodness. Well, thank you so much, Jen, and our wonderful parent, Graham. It's so nice to have you on the show every time. Thanks for joining us today in our discussion about your baby's reflexes. And for our Newbies Club members, our conversation will continue after the end of the show, as Jen will explain what an APGAR score is and how these reflexes are evaluated as part of the score. And for more information about the Newbies Club, please visit our website at newmommymedia.com.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at SkylightFrame.com/easy.
All right, so before we wrap up our show, we have a baby oop. So this is that segment that I was telling you guys about at the beginning of the show. And this one comes from Julie, and she posted this on Facebook, and I thought it was pretty funny. She says, I have a baby oops that was not so funny at the time. When my son was 4 months old, I was working, and my husband was watching my son. My husband brought my son to work. When they left, my husband started the car to get the air conditioning going. So it must have been like the summer or something like that. And then he put my son in his car seat and shut the door, therefore locking my son, keys and all, in the car with no way to get in. He, meaning the husband, comes running into my work and I ask where my son is. He stands at least 10 feet away from me and tells me he locked him in the car. I almost killed him. Luckily, there was a AAA worker there and he was able to break into the car. Needless to say, my husband has never done that again.
Oh, man.
It's so easy to do. I mean, I freak out about this all the time. When I am putting my kids into the car, like, do you guys have cars that automatically lock after a certain point?
I do, yeah.
That freaks me out. Like, I'm always trying to be conscious of where my keys are. But, you know, when your kids get older, they like to hold your keys, take your keys, mm-hmm. whatever. And yeah. sometimes, you know, I have another baby in my hand or something like that, and I'm trying to, like, get everyone in the car. And my worst fear is that those automatic locks are going to happen and I'm not going to have a door open or something like that. And
yeah,
there are my kids. And now, thank goodness, now I at least have my 5-year-old. He's about to turn 6 this summer. So he knows better now, and he can probably unlock it and do whatever. But I still totally freaks me out.
Yeah. My 3-year-old loves locking the door. Like, he loves it. He thinks it's the most fun thing ever.
I locked my newborn in the car once. I had to call the fire department.
This was
15 years ago, you know, and I did it at the preschool. I was dropping my son off and I got my son out of the car and I closed his door and I went to go around to get the baby out of the car seat. And I had put my keys on the seat to get my son out of the car seat. And when I closed his door, it locked. And I it was in Texas in summer and it was very hot. So I had to call the fire department to come and get my baby out of my car.
Oh, poor mom.
Oh my gosh. I bet you were just freaking out. I would be freaking out.
Oh yeah. I was a little upset.
Oh my goodness.
But I only did it once. Only once.
Yeah. That's the good news, right? Is once it happens once, you're really, really on guard with that stuff. So, obviously accidents happen, you know,
good parents make mistakes too, you know?
Yep.
I love that he stood 10 feet away from her when he was telling her what happened. Cause that's a smart guy.
Smart guy. He was out of punching range.
Oh my goodness.
All right. Well, Julie, thanks so much for sending this in. And if anyone is listening, well, hopefully you're listening. But let me back up. If you are listening and you have a baby oops you would like us to read on the show, oh, you can tell it's early in the morning when we're recording this. Please send us an email through the website again. And you can also send us a voicemail through our website. That is newmommymedia.com. And we'd be happy to share it on our show.
That wraps up our show for today. We appreciate you listening to Newbies. Don't forget to check out our sister show, Preggy Pals, for expecting parents, Parent Savers for moms and dads with toddlers, and The Boop Group for moms who provide breast milk to their babies, and Twin Talks for parents and multiples. Thanks for listening to Newbies, your go-to source for new moms and new babies.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified health care provider.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.